die Mutti so lädt. Hare Krishna. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavanand Prabhuji on the call to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 2nd chapter, 12th sloka. Yeah, before handing over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to ask Aditi Mataji to take over and give a brief introduction. Mataji, please take over.
Mataji, Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances. I'm very pleased to introduce once again Dr. Keshavanand Prabhuji, and this is a brief introduction for him. Dr. Keshavanand Prabhuji was a professional doctor for many years. He is now a practicing monk, and he's since the last 20 years he has conducted extensive research and authored books in the fields of science and spirituality. He feels the rift between science and spirituality must disappear to bring peace in the world. If spirituality is a superstition and a myth, science is materialistic and atheistic. A new approach to life is needed today that can bring the best of both. Science must re-embrace spirituality and be humble to admit its defects, flaws, and ignorance. And spirituality must base itself on sound scientific and rational ideas. Keshavanand Prabhuji has studied both Vedic and Western philosophy. Besides learning Sanskrit, he also learned Bengali, Gujarati, Marathi, and Kannada to know about the other traditions. His persistent endeavor in the field of science and spirituality has enabled him to come up with seminars on diverse topics like science and the Vedas, mind and machines, science fails to explain life, consciousness and beyond, etc., that he has presented in various colleges in India, Europe and America under the guidance of his spiritual master, His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj. He has also started a Gurukula, a traditional system of Vedic education in Punjab, India, where children learn the ancient Vedic culture and values. Besides, he has started a farm community. The community has a traditional way of living with mud huts and thatched roofs, with cows and, of course, farming. The communities will set a model for the world to show how to live life based on the principle of simple living, high thinking. Dandavat pranam to Keshavanand Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Over to you, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for the introduction. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Can hear me, all of you? Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Okay. You can all hear me properly?
Yes, Prabhuji. Clear.
Fine.
You too.
Just hold on. Okay, we can start now. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 7, chapter 2, text 12. Yat yatra duja gavo veda varna ashrama kriyaha tam tam janapadam yata sandipayat richaschata. Synonyms, yat yatra, wherever, dvija brahmanas, gava, the protected cows, veda, the Vedic culture, varnashrama of the Aryan civilization of four varnas and four ashramas, kriya, the activities, tam tam that, janapadam to the city or town, yat yata go, sandhi payata set fire, Prichaschata cut down all the trees. Translation. Immediately go wherever there is good protection for the cows and brahmanas, wherever the Vedas are studied in terms of Varnashrama principles. Set fire to those places, cut the roots of the trees there, which are the source of life. Offered by Srila Prabhupada. The picture of proper human civilization is indirectly described here. In a perfect human civilization, there must be a class of men fully trained as perfect brahmanas. Similarly, there must be kshatriyas to rule the country very nicely according to the injunctions of the shastras, and there must be vaishyas who can protect the cows. The word gava indicates the cows who should be given protection. Because of Vedic civilization is lost, the cows are not protected, but instead indiscriminately killed in slaughterhouses, such as the acts of the demons. Therefore, this is a demoniac civilization. The Varnashrama Dharma mentioned here is essential for human civilization. Unless there is a Brahmana to guide a Kshatriya to rule perfectly and a perfect Vaishya to produce food and protect the cows, how will people live peacefully? It is impossible. Another point it has, trees also should be given protection. During its lifetime, a tree should not be cut for industrial enterprises. In Kali Yuga, trees are indiscriminately and unnecessarily cut for industry, in particular for paper mills that manufacture a profuse quantity of paper for publication of demoniac propaganda and nonsensical literature, huge quantities of newspapers and many other paper products. This is a sign of demoniac civilization. The cutting of trees is prohibited unless necessary for the service of Lord Vishnu. Yagya arthat karma nanatra lokoyam karma bandhanam. The work as done as sacrifice for Lord Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, the work binds one to this material world. But if the paper mill stop producing paper, one may argue, how can ISKCON literature be published? The answer is that the paper mill should manufacture paper only for the publication for ISKCON literature, because ISKCON literature is published for the service of Lord Vishnu. This literature clarifies our relationship with Lord Vishnu. So therefore, publication of ISKCON literature is performance of Yagya. Yagya tat karma natra lokayam karma bandhana. Yagya must be performed as indicated by the superior authorities. Cutting of trees simply to manufacture paper for publication of unwanted literature is the greatest sinful act. Okay, so this is an interesting verse here. And I just pay Mangalacharan and then Om Agyana Timurandasya Jnana Jana Shilaka Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namah Namaste Sarasvate Gaurvani Prachar Shunyavadi Paschadeshtari Shri Krishna Chaitanya Bhutananda Kupidhar Vashavadi Gaur Bhakti Vinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So this verse is quite interesting, because here in this verse, what is happening is four components of a proper human civilization. Srila Prabhupada says, Prabhupada begins a purport. The picture of a proper human civilization, a perfect human civilization. Everybody wants a perfect civilization. Everybody wants a perfect society where we can live peacefully, happily, harmoniously. And I mean to say, everyone can live happily and peacefully. Everybody wants to live in such a society, isn't it? A society where there's chaos and crime and arrogance and exploitation. Nobody wants to live in that society. It's common sense. So now, how to make a perfect society? That is indicated in this verse. If anybody wants to make a perfect society, we need four things. In fact, Socrates and Plato, they have dealt in details in their books, The Republic. Plato wrote a book, The Republic, and he so there are many volumes of that book, and a volume, and then those books, Plato is talking about the policy, the politics, the state. And there he's talking about the very important point there he's discussing, how to make a perfect society, because without a perfect society, there can't be a perfect human. It's impossible. How to do that? If society is not peaceful, humans will not be able to cultivate spirituality nicely. They will not be able to cultivate good qualities, and thus human civilization will get defeated. There are four things Bhagavata mentions. We need four things to make perfect society. Any society, I mean to say, by society, I don't mean country or a state. It can also mean the society. ISKCON society. ISKCON is a society. Any group of people staying together, if they want to stay peacefully, they need these four things. Anywhere in this world, anywhere in this whole universe. What are these four things? Dvija, Gavo, Veda, Varnash. These four things are important. Dvija means Brahmanas. Dvija means people who are born twice. Dvij. Dvij means two. Ja means born twice. So, to be born twice. Now, in Sanskrit, birds are called Dvija because they're born twice. First, they're born in egg, and then they're born again. Then the egg cracks, and then they're born. Teeth are called Dvija because children, they carry milk teats, and then milk teats fall down and again teats come. Similarly, Brahmanas are called Dvija because one birth is from mother's womb. Another birth is given by spiritual master. Spiritual birth. Material birth, spiritual birth. So Dvijas are called, Dvija means here Brahmanas. So Brahmanas, we need Brahmanas. Why do we need Brahmanas in society? We need Brahmana society to guide people so that all of the people, the humans and people in the society, they are always fixed on the goal to understand God. Otherwise, as soon as society, civilization forgets the goal, what happens is, as soon as you forget the goal, the society becomes demoniac. And there starts exploitation, crime, and so many things. It's atheistic, basically atheistic, materialistic society. So Brahmanas, the job of Brahmanas is to keep the society on track and to remind them that all the endeavors and all the knowledge in the society should be used to understand God. That's what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said all knowledge should be used to understand God. So that is what is job of Brahmana. So Brahmanas not only have to understand God, but Brahmanas also have to understand all the knowledge, the material knowledge in the society, because they have to guide people how material knowledge can be used in such a fashion so that it can facilitate people to understand. That's the whole idea. So this is called Dvija. Dvija are trained people in the material sciences, in spiritual sciences, and also in guiding people how to use the material sciences to make a favorable atmosphere to understand God for spirituality. That's Brahmanas. And then you have Gavo. Gavo means cows. So cows are there to Srila Prabhupada writes in the Purport, cows are being killed in slaughterhouses. They are not protected because now we have invented machines. We do farming by machines, isn't it? And we spray. People even sow seeds with machines. They don't need even humans. Where previously, they need humans at least to sow seeds or saplings. But that's also even done by machines. Everything is done by machine. Even cutting. Cutting the rice or the wheat, grass. You needed humans, but now there are no cows, no humans, nobody is required for tilling the land, and that's where people are killing cows. But if you want any society to be peaceful, you need cows. Not only for farming, but for milk. Most of the products of the society are made by milk. You see, so you see all junk food, they have cream in it. Cream is always there. Either you see burgers or you see pizzas, there is always cheese or cream or butter. Everything comes from milk. So even though machines have taken over farming, but still we need cows for milk. How do you get milk? This children needs milk as a source of food. So milk cannot be replaced. That's why we need to protect cows. In fact, it is said cows are our mothers. It is said in scriptures, cow is our mother, bull is our father, and they have to be protected nicely so that society gets a lot of milk and milk products and everybody is healthy. Prabhupada says, if one takes cow products, his body will be healthy and his brain will be sharp. So Brahmanas need cows. Cows are also required to do yajnas. What do you do with that? So Dvijas, Brahmanas, are supposed to do yajnas for the betterment of society for various reasons which are mentioned in scriptures, and for that we need ghee. And cows also required for preparing medicines, Ayurvedic medicines. And almost all the Ayurvedic medicines, ghee is used as a base. So you can't make medicines, you can't do yajnas, you can't do farming without cows, and you can't get nourishing milk, cheese and butter, anything like that. So without cows, whole society collapses. So that's where cows, in Vedic tradition, cows were protected. Cows were not just protected, cows were loved. Cows are social animals, according to modern science. And that's correct. I mean, cows are loved, just like people keep dogs in the West and they love them. And so similarly, in Vedic tradition, people used to keep cows and people used to love them. And people, in fact, used to keep cows as their family members. Even people used to name cows, just like people name dogs. So people used to name cows. And they were like family members. They were staying for like and cows are also used, if we strictly see Vedic tradition, cow urine is used in medicines. Cow dung is used to make so many products. So in India, people are becoming cow conscious, and they are understanding the importance of cows. So cows should be there. And then third is, that's why Vedas speak, Go Brahmana Hitayacha. Krishna is lover of cows and Dvija, Brahmanas. So these two components are very important for any society. Now the third thing is Vedas. You need scriptures, because scriptures will define the duty of Brahmins. Scriptures will tell you how to use milk, urine and cows properly in the service of God and for the benefit of humanity. It's all direction of scriptures. Scriptures will also delineate the process of yajnas. How to do yajnas. And in those yajnas, what components are to be used, made of ghee and other components. And so scriptures, Vedas are very important to give directions, what to do, what not to do. Yam and Niyam. Rules and regulations. That's why Vedas are important. Veda means knowledge. Knowledge. You need knowledge to do anything. You need knowledge to understand various material sciences. You need knowledge to understand spiritual science. You need knowledge. You need knowledge for everything. You need information. You need some information to use some a product. That's Vedas. So because Vedas are spoken by a God, Vedas are Aparushya. Aparushya means no human has written Vedas. Vedas are spoken by God. That's why Vedic tradition considers Vedas as a perfect source of knowledge. And that's why Vedas are important. Vedas are like constitution of Vedic society. So that society can run according to codes and conducts and laws which are written in Vedas. And the fourth thing is Varnashrama. And the fourth thing which is required for society, Varnashram. This topic, Varnashram, that is dealt in details in the Republic by Plato. And that is dealt in details in our Dharma Shastras in Vedic tradition. That's Varnashrama system. Now, Varnashrama system is not a system to exploit the society, as many communists put it like that. Varnashrama is there to exploit people. Brahmanas exploit Shudras, and, you know, I mean to say, these things were happening actually. This is not a fantasy, but these things were happening. People were exploiting. Higher class people were exploiting lower class people. But that doesn't mean the system is wrong. The system, I mean to say, we see, so we see day in and day out, so many rackets are there in hospitals, kidney rackets, blood, you know, there's so many, some hospital corrupt doctors are there, some hospitals exploiting patients and charging them unnecessarily. There are so many, but that doesn't mean the hospital setup is wrong. People who are running hospital, they are wrong. Similarly, Varnashram system is not wrong, but people who are there in Varnashram system, they become corrupted. System is not corrupted, but humans are corrupted. So Varnashrama system is required. People, so it is said, don't throw away the baby with the bathing water. So mother, it is, so the saying is in English, the mother washes the baby in the tub. And after washing, the dirty water she throws in the drain. And along with the water, she also throws the baby in the drain. What's the point of that? Similarly, Varnashrama, higher class people are exploiting lower class people. Well, that's okay. So the solution was to throw away people. And not the system, Varnashrama system. That was not the solution. The solution was to bring good people in the system and run the system, isn't it? Any corporate sector, there are so many corrupted people. CEOs are corrupted, so they fire CEOs, isn't it? And they bring good CEOs. But they don't just stop all the corporate system. Nobody does that. System in itself has a value. Varnashram system has a value if understood properly. For Varnashram also, you need Vedas, scriptures. So Varnashrama defines, Prabhupada writes in the purport, Varnashrama defines what is the purpose of a Brahmana, what is the purpose of Dvicha, be told, what is the purpose of Kshatriya, how to manage people, how to guide people, how to protect them. Varnashrama guides Vaishyas, how to do finance, how to do business in Niti Shastras. And Varnashrama guides then Shudras, how to be a skillful labor. This word Shudra has become a taboo in modern times, but that time it was not a taboo. And Shudras means skilled laborers. Every society needs skilled laborers. So all these four kind of people are required. Just like we have head, we have hands, we have stomach, and we have feet. And then it's a complete human. All four are required. If you don't have feet, you can't walk. You don't have hands, you can't work. You don't have stomach, you're dead. You don't have head, you don't exist. So, but all the four are required to properly lead a good life. So similarly, you need all four, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And then four ashramas, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanprastha, Sannyas. Four stages of life. Every human, every Brahman, every Kshatriya, every Vaishya must go through four stages of life. Brahmachari, student life, household life, then Vanprastha life, leading household life, and then Sannyas, renunciation. And perfect their lives and attain God. That's all. It's a very scientific system. Varnashrama is a scientific system to manage society. That's all. Finish. It's simple. Varnashrama, so let me put it like that. Varnashrama is actually Vedic MBA. That's all. MBA is managed, well, what's that? Master of Business Administration. So Varnashrama is Vedic MBA. Varnashrama is teaching how to do business to Vaishyas. How to do business. Every person can do his own business. Brahmanas are doing their own business. Vaishyas are their own business. Bachelor's own business, skilled labor's own business, how to do their own businesses properly according to scriptures. That's Parnashram, where they can be a scientific system to rule the society. Simple. So either you do research and R&D and publish papers and then make a constitution and then make some laws and then run the society. Or you read Vedas and already a good system and laws are given to run the society. That's for Parnashram. Simple. As simple as that. And this system had been running thousands and thousands of years before this modern age. And people were living. People were happy. It's not that people were not living. It's not that every person before science was a monkey and nonsense and barbarian. It was not like that. The world existed and good people were there. There were many philosophers. There were many sensible people. And they were happy. So there has to be a merit in Varnashrama, definitely. But Varnashrama is not corrupted. People are corrupt who were running Varnashrama. That's the whole idea. So these four things are required. Any society, if it has to run properly, these four things are required. Duja, Gava, Vedas, and Varnashram system. So this is applicable to ISKCON society. So ISKCON is a society. And in society, we have people. We don't have demigods in this society. We don't have demons in this society. We have normal humans who are joining our society. So, and Prabhupada wanted this society to run nicely. Prabhupada wanted the society to run nicely so that people can live, devotees can live peacefully and they can do devotion. So how do you run this ISKCON society nicely? Well, you can make rules, ISKCON manifesto, and there are rules. People, devotees have been trying to make rules and laws and trying to run society. So well, here, you don't have to invent any laws. Already there are laws by God, which are Varnashrama laws. You bring this into the society. And that's what Prabhupada said, my 50% work is left Varnashrama. Because rather than inventing and spending time on resolutions and then no solutions, Prabhupada said, well, it's God's system, take it, Varnashrama. Prabhupada himself said, I want to make Brahmanas in this society. Prabhupada said, isn't it? Devotees should be Brahmanas. But the society is to produce Brahmanas. That is Dvija. Brahmanas, the word Dvija here is used in a very general sense. Prabhupada said, I want to make Brahmanas in this society. That means Brahmanas in a very general sense. I want to make every devotee full of Brahmanical qualities. So the society needs Brahmanas. Every devotee should have Brahmanical qualities. Satyam, Daya, Tapa, Saucham, Bhagavatam begins by that. And this verse is exactly applicable to, if we want to run a society nicely for 10,000 years, we need these four things. And Prabhupada said that. Dvija, Prabhupada said that everyone should be Dvija in a very general sense. Brahmana. We need cows in this society. This corner has so many gaushala, isn't it? We need cows. And we need to show the world how to protect and how to preserve and how to love cows and how to use their products to be healthy also. Devotees should be healthy, so we need cows. We need our own milk, own ghee. All milk and ghee is corrupted. How devotees will become actually healthy. And also to deities. What do you do with deities? Deities, we can't offer corrupted tea and nonsense milk products. Every temple should have cows, their own cows, so that they can serve Krishna nicely with pure ghee, pure milk products. We need cows, we need Vedas, of course. Bhagavatam, Prabhupada books are there. Vedic conclusion, that's there. And we need Varnashram. So, this is a perfect, so what do we say? Combo? We say combo, isn't it? A perfect combo, a perfect combination of four things. Any village, any community, any state, any country, any society, any group of people, anywhere in this world, in a group of people might be living in mountain or may be living in Amazon jungles anywhere. If they want to have a perfect society, in the sense, by perfection I mean they want to be happy and satisfied and peaceful and understand God. By perfection we mean this. Then they need these four things. If you want to develop rockets and technology and that's your definition of perfection, then you don't need for these four things. You don't need. We might need some kind of division in society to work properly. But if you want to go to moon and develop rockets and technology, then you don't need cows, then you don't need Brahmana, you don't need Vedas. No, you don't need Varnashrama, you don't need nothing like that. You simply need to produce computer engineers and train students in that branch and use them for yourself and make technology, and that's all. As simple as that. But that's not a definition of perfection. That's not what we're talking about. Prabhupada says, proper human civilization, a perfect human civilization. Our definition of perfect human civilization is perfection is that state in which a person doesn't desire to attain anything. Krishna defines perfection like that, isn't it? And that is only one state. There are no two possibilities. That is a state when person is connected to God. In that state, a person doesn't desire anything else. He's completely satisfied. That's a perfect human civilization. So what Hiranyakashipu is saying here, actually Hiranyakashipu understands this. He's a demon. even in this modern age, even good people, they don't understand all these things. But at previous times, even demons understood that these four things are necessary for running a perfect society. And Hiranyakashipu's job was to produce confusion and destroy the society. So he said, okay, well, let's destroy these four things. It's just like Britishers, they came to India, East India Company. They came, Max Muller came, and they all came and they did some research why India is called Golden Bird and why India is so peaceful and why India is so prosperous at that time. And they did some research and they found, actually the whole foundation is Vedas and cows. Because this country has Vedas and cows, they are very prosperous and they are the richest country in the world. There's two things they could understand. Britishers, they did. they could understand. And they said, let's break this. This is a backbone. Vedas and cows. And Varnashrama and Brahmanas. They understood these four things. They destroyed these four things. How they did that? They brought industrial revolution. Cows were out. Tractors and machines, isn't it? They brought science. And they said, become doctors, engineers, Brahmanas were out. You don't need God, you need science. No need of Brahmanas. They brought modern education, Vedas were out. We have education system, we have logical system, understand. And they had their own constitution, Varnashrama was out. And they understood these four things, if you destroy this country, is finished. They could understand. But it's how unfortunate we can't understand. Hiranyakashipu could understand, okay, this is a base, let's destroy this society. Let's finish them. Hiranyakashipu didn't tell his demon soldiers go and actually implant a nuclear missile and finish them off. He didn't say that. He said, okay, destroy these four and they'll automatically get destroyed. No need of nuclear missile. No need of you can blast a bomb and finish everything in a second. But then again, people will inhabit those places. People will come in and again start something. But Hiranyakashipu is thinking of a long-term devastation. You see Japan, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, nuclear bomb, atom bomb. And again, it is there. Again, they came up within 60, 70 years, isn't it? Nuclear bomb was, 1940s? World War II? Yeah, 30s and 40s, isn't it? 40s. So World War now. Just within 30 years, again, Hiranyakashipu and Nagasaki, they were like up again. Same thing. But Britishers came, East India Company, and they destroyed these four things and even after 150 years, we are not able to stand up. And everything is destroyed. We are just going sliding down and down and down and down. They, Hiranyakashi wanted to destroy the roots. And he could understand this is how you destroy civilization. Atom bomb can destroy a country, but not a civilization. This, if you destroy these four things, the entire civilization is out for 300 years. Minimum 300 years it's out. Minimum 300 years it's gone. People will come and people will go, but civilization will go down. So that's the Hiranyakashipu. How did Hiranyakashipu know all these things? Hiranyakashipu also read Vedas. They had this Vedic knowledge. They used to read. But the difference between them and devotees were, devotees read Vedas. They were reading Vedas. But devotees were using Vedas to understand God. They were using Vedas to destroy God. That's a whole difference. But everybody was reading it. Just like in today's world, everybody is on Google, isn't it? Even good people are there on Google. Even bad people are there. Good people are using Google for benefit of mankind. Good information, research. Bad people are using Google for hacking and for actually terrorism and all those things, isn't it? So similarly, Vedas are a bank of knowledge. Vedas are like Vedic Google. You can say Vedas are Vedic Google. So you can read, demons can use Vedas and devotees can use Vedas, anybody. So Hiranyakashipu said, well, okay, this is this, you destroy these four things. Tam tam jana padam yata sandipayat vrishashchata. And what you do is, the step one is, if you want to destroy all these things, now the demon soldiers, they asked Hiranyakashipu, okay, we'll destroy all these things, but how to begin? So you want us first to go and shoot all the brahmanas? Or you want us to capture all the cows and take them to slaughterhouse? Or burn all the books, Vedas? What do you want to do? So he said, okay, step one is sandhi payata vichaschata. Step one is, put fire to all the trees. Oh, this is interesting. Just put fire to that song. To all the trees. Sandipayata vrichashyata. Vrichash matlab trees. Cut down all the trees. Put fire to all the trees. That's what you should be doing. Now this is quite interesting. It was step one. Now you might think, what is this? Just like in this Israel and Hamas. Is happening. So what Israel is doing? Okay, tanks and all these guns and all these missiles and shoot them down. Ukraine, Russia, it's the same thing. Hiranyakashipu was, these demons were very intelligent. Hiranyakashipu, they didn't say, okay, go and take your swords and then kill everybody, village after village after village. It was not crusades. He said, okay, go and put fire to all the trees. And if required, their homes. And that's all. You don't need to kill people or nothing like that. If there are no trees, Prabhupada says trees are sources of life. No trees, people die. No trees, that means no fuel, no cooking. How do you do cooking? People are using wood, isn't it? No trees, no herbs, no medicines, no food. If you put all fire on the, even on the, one of the farms, if you put fire, farms you can grow again, but it takes time if there's a heavy fire in that. So then this means no trees, no farming, no herbs, no medicines, no cooking, nothing, no yagyas, everything stops. Brahmanas, they'll die because there's no trees. In yagya you need foods, you need various kind of aushadhis in yagyas. In it, Kushad Hases and so many other things. Everything is out. And then cooking, if you don't eat, you die. So at that time, trees were very essential. So he said, burn all the trees. And if possible, burn their homes. They become homeless and then die. Simple. It's a good it's a very sensible line to do things. It's just like so it's just like you see yeah, no oxygen also. Pollution and no oxygen. So it's just like, you know, Russia and this Ukraine and Europe fight. Now Russia said we will actually stop the petrol pipelines. All petrol goes from Russia to, you know, Europe, and there are big pipelines. They stop it, and if there's no petrol, then people die, because no petrol, nothing happens. All industries and all the electrical power stations, everything is on petrol. People die. So that's the whole thing. So no trees at that time, people die. So Hiranyakashipu is working on the roots, and he wants to destroy them completely. That's a good team, isn't it? That's a good team. They really understand the cause of goodness, and they destroy the cause. And that's why Hiranyakashipu's ultimate aim was to destroy Vishnu. He's a root of all goodness. If you destroy, he's a root of Dvija, Gavo, Ved, Varnashrama. So his ultimate project, mission X, mission impossible, his ultimate mission was to destroy Vishnu. That he was preparing for. So here it is. It is red. See, it is set the fire to places and cut the roots of the trees. That's why I'm bringing this. Cut the roots of the trees. This is you. So you can take this in a very poetic sense also. Roots of the trees. The trees are Dvija, Gavo, Veda, Varnashrama. The trees and branches, and the root is Vishnu. So Hiranyakashipu, in another sense, is saying to soldiers, prepare for a grand attack on demigods and their leader Vishnu, and we will kill them. That was his idea. His idea was to go to roots. He was not interested in some superficial here and there, catch these two people, kill them, catch those two people, kill them, produce fear in society. You know, it's all childish. It was, in fact, if Hiranyakashipu was doing such kind of things, he would have been in the list of ordinary burglars and mobs, you know. he's a big demon. He'll not do such stupid childish things. kidnap them. You know, let's destroy the root. Let's destroy Vishnu. Let's destroy the foundation of our civilization. Let's destroy these four things. So in modern age, modern atheistic people, materialistic people and demons, they're also doing the same thing. They're destroying these four things. How? Not by setting fire, not by weapons, not by fighting, but by science and education. Science is not wrong, education is not wrong, but the kind of science they are doing, practicing now, that's wrong. I mean to say, scientism is wrong. Science is not wrong, but the people who are doing science, they have a problem. Scientists are a problem. They are saying there is no God. And they're using this science and they are saying, yeah, we are scientific and we have made technology. Believe us, we have given you computers and cameras. Who can give this? It's a magic. So we are believe, and we are, there is no God, there is no Veda, there is no Varnashrama, there is no need of Brahmana. It's all nonsense, crap, mythology, superstition. Let's advance. Isn't it? So they are doing the same thing, but in a different fashion. They want to destroy God. Western philosophers, Nietzsche, Schopenhauer, they were dead against God. Marx, opium for masses. Religion is opium for masses. Isn't it? They are destroying the very same things by setting fire, not by weapons, but by words. That's the idea. Create confusion by words. Set fire in this world by information, by giving wrong information, by giving twisted information. And that will set fire. There was a book, famous book I read, Fire in Equations. So by showing wrong theories, confuse people, and then they'll be destroyed, that's all. Then the same policy they are trying to do. Now, Prabhupada mentioned the purpose. They are sending cows to slaughterhouse. They are saying Brahmanas are nonsense. They are like old fashioned nonsense people. Vedas are some books for mythological people. They are speaking lies, spreading lies, fire of lies. And Varnashrama is to exploit people and this and that and that and that. People become confused. On internet, you will find both parties, isn't it? Some people will say this is good, and we will say this is good. Others will say, no, this is nonsense. Research is done. This is crazy. Some people will say this Ayurvedic drug is the best drug. Another, the atheist will publish papers. No, it produces toxicity and it's nonsense. And then what ordinary man will do? Ordinary man will say, oh my God, it's confusing. Leave everything. Even if he's not convinced by them, but he's confused. That's the idea. They bring confusions in the society. And then people become confused. So even though you might talk and talk and talk and talk, give seminars and speak truth, nobody believes you because people say, oh, come on, you know. They are saying that, this is saying that, this, that is saying that, and forget it. Even just leave it, sleep nicely, eat food, and be happy. And that's the whole point. Sandhipayata prichashata. Sandhipayata means set fire. Tamsara dava nala, you devil. That's the whole point. You can set fire by bombs. You can set fire by misinformation, wrong information in the minds of people, in the concept. That's the whole idea. So that's how this whole verse goes like. So if we want to really, we want to, you see, these four things are important. Prabhupada says, Yajna Arthat Karma Niyatra Lokayam Karma Bandhana. These four things, Dvija, Gava, Veda, Varnashrama, the whole target is to please Vishnu. That's the whole point. Another point is, and that's what Brahmana's function is there. Even non-devotees, even atheistic people, they can keep cows. And they can follow Asuri Varnashram. They can take the system. They can also read Vedas. Hiranyakashipu and Raman, they were expert in Vedas. But they were not using them to please Vishnu. That's the whole point. So even though these four things are in itself makes a perfect society, but they will not do so if they are not there to please Vishnu. That's the whole idea. Sam Siddhim Haritoshanam. Varnashrama Vibhaga. So what's that verse? Atapum Viduja Shrestha Varnashrama Vibhaga. So everything should be to please Lord. Otherwise, even these four things without Vishnu, they will not lead to a perfect society in itself. And that is why, although Vishnu is not mentioned here, he's not mentioned. But Prabhupada mentions the Prabhupada. Even these four things are not sufficient in itself if it is not aimed to please Vishnu. Just like even devotion. We are chanting, we are making temple. But if chanting and making temple and reading Bhagavatam is not to please Krishna, then it's all waste. Isn't it? It becomes waste. We all know that. Everything should be, it then becomes impure devotion, not pure devotion. And we don't derive it, we glide down in offenses and sins. So that's the whole idea. So we should take care, understand the message of this verse. Apply it nicely. This verse is very important for our ISKCON society. First of all, we are a society and we have to take care of these four things. Bring it into a society gradually. If we have to develop a class of Brahmanical people, train devotees in good qualities. We have to develop, we have to care for cows, and we have to bring Vedas back. Vedas, Prabhupada books, read Prabhupada books nicely. Understand the philosophy and Varnashrama and 50% work. Prabhupada, we have to bring back Varnashrama. And we have to do all these things to please Vishnu and not just for personal sense, advertisement and whatever you can think of. But to please Krishna, that we have to keep in mind. So then everything will be perfect. Okay, so that's about it. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody wants to ask anything?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very wonderful class mentioning about the importance of all the four classes. So yeah, Prabhupada has mentioned so many times in his purports about this Varnashrama system, but it's the people who we are not following. So very nice examples you gave, Prabhuji. So one who knows the importance of that will follow, but we, the Kali Yuga people, have destroyed it. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. And whatever we do, or even the four classes, they are important. But still, whatever we do, we have to do for the satisfaction of the Lord, because He is a supreme enjoyer. Bhaktaramena tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such an instructive class. So I think 5 minutes we have for question and answers. So devotees, please stay. Next class will be Vrindavan Parikrama for this Kartik month. And Prabhuji is also joined for that. So yeah, so we have only 5 minutes more time. So if anyone wants to ask any question to Keshavanand Prabhuji, please go ahead. Yeah, Gaurav Prabhuji. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Am I audible?
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna ji. I wanted to ask, at what point of time did the Varnashram system really got destroyed? Was it like all gradual, or like after what point of time Brahmin started saying that, okay, my child will be a Brahmin?
Well, we understand that at the time of Buddha, before time of Buddha, it started. At least by history, we know. Buddha, he came to stop unnecessary misuse of Vedas by Brahmanas, and especially stop the killing of animals in the Yajnas. So we understand, like, it's around 2000 years back. 2600 years back, this phenomena started. Even before that, Buddha came at that time. So it seems around 3000 years back, Brahminical community started become corrupted and gliding down. Exactly when, I don't know, but at least 3000 years back, due to influence of Kali.
Prajee, what about at the time when Krishna was there? So was the Varnashram system perfect at that time?
When Krishna was there, Varnashram system was there, but it was getting destroyed because of all these Malecha kings. And that's why Krishna came to destroy all of them and again establish Varnashram by installing Yudhishthira and Parikshit.
And before that time, everyone, their child, they used to go to the same guru or get the same education, and then the guru used to decide.
Before that.
So Brahman's child in those times could have become Shudra, and a Shudra's child could have become a Brahman.
It was according to Guna Karma. It was according to the ability of the person, not by birth. Now Varnashrama, in modern times, it became according to birth, but that's not the point.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. So one last question we can take, because after that we have to go for Parikrama. So IYF, I don't know who's that. So they are asking, how can we implement Varnashramam in modern society, especially in cities, because people don't want to leave everything in good villages?
Well, Varnashram is not just villages. Varnashram is a concept, and we can bring in society. I mean, we can train Kshatriyas to manage to rule society, our political leaders to rule society according to Vedas. We can bring a class of Brahminical community and train people in spirituality so that they can direct the right direction to people and give them, train them in good qualities, and then business people, and then skilled laborers according to Vedic tradition. And that can also be implemented in Vedas. Of course, And then villages can be connected to cities, and villagers, Vaishyas, can live in farms and cities, and they can produce food, and then they can offer it to God and then supply in cities. Something like that, some system can be started. One ashram can be installed conceptually first, and in parallel, physically, as Varnashram communities, what we are trying, what we have also opened up, Bhadrika Ashram, Varnashram, Nandagram is there. We are also trying physically. Conceptually also we can do. Prabhupada said with every ISKCON center, there should be a Varnashram college. Prabhupada said that. Every ISKCON center. So ISKCON centers are in cities. They are not in farms. So what that college is doing in that city? That college is training people. Prabhupada said devotees will join temple, and then they have to be trained according to their propensities. They have to be identified who is a Brahmin or a Kshatriya, who is a Vaishya, and they have to be trained according to their propensities, according to Vedas. That was the function of Varnashram College. So if we want to start Varnashram in cities, let's start with Varnashram colleges in cities. That's the step one.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for, and yeah, so I think we can wind up here because we are having